Microphone is on. If not, I can walk out, but I think I can hear it behind me. Emma has, Jenny didn't even ask this year. She said, you're just going to be from the floor, right? Just they gave me a microphone without any access to standing up here. Because that's what I like to do. I like to be in the middle of people and having the opportunity to talk to people at their level. I'll talk a little bit about the scripture reading today and the 12-step process, and hopefully tie that in a little bit to our camp week, as well as our youth group year, as well as our year to come. And that's my hope. And I think at the core of that, we're going to talk a little bit about what we believe in and meeting people where they are, which is something that I think when you're in the middle of a crowd and preaching from the floor, to me, it makes a lot more sense. I'm in the middle of here, of this group, so that I can meet you where you are. The first part of this, when I talked to Jamie and Larry about having a chance to preach on Camp Sunday, they had said to me, we're going through the 12-step process, and this is step 11. And in step 11, as you heard in the letter from Paul, we're talking about change, and as people change and grow, that God is there to support them. And with step 11, although I'll probably paraphrase a little, what I read in step 11 and what I hear in that letter is that we all change, we all grow, whether it be through our faith or whether it be through how we deal with others. God is there to support us. God will be there to meet us where we are. And that's really the core tenet that maybe 5 years ago or 4 years ago, when I first had the chance to preach at the camp, that I brought forward for the congregation. And that is meeting people where they are in their lives. And it's, I think, the most important tenet of youth ministry and working with teenagers, is to meet people where they are. In our youth group this year, we had 750 teenagers inside our youth group. 750 folks from around not just Weymouth now, but really Braintree and Quincy and Holbrook and Randolph and Pembroke and many other towns. It is growing, and we have friends of friends or families that have teens that have heard about our youth group, and it gets bigger and bigger. Those teens meet every Sunday still throughout the school year, and we'll begin that September 16th with our youth group starting up again, onboarding folks, training all of our staff, and bringing them in to use the church that is graciously offered to us every Sunday. Not an easy thing, I know, because most churches, Sunday is the day. It's one of the only days that the church is open to the community, and people want to use that space. So I know that having that space every Sunday for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, however long we are here, because sometimes it does change, is amazingly important, and I'm thankful for that. But when we opened the doors up to our youth group this last year, it kept getting bigger. And the year before that, it was the biggest one we had ever had. The year before that, it was the biggest one we had ever had. It continues to grow and to grow and to grow. It has been an amazing experience and a journey to see the youth group grow to the size that it is now. And I think that the real reason for that certainly is due to this congregation, but also to our advisors and those who took the time and effort into it. And there are a number of them over here today, both from camp as well as from our weekly meetings, and it wouldn't happen without the dedication that we have of those 80 or so staff on a weekly basis who come and spend their time to help out with youth group and to meet teens where they are. At camp this year, we had our largest camp ever. So as you can imagine, with our largest youth group ever, we also now have a camp that has grown. And luckily, the facilities that we go to have grown as well. If you've ever seen the pictures on the youth group website or the blog, or through our Instagram or Twitter feeds, because I have to do all these things to make sure that I'm meeting people where they are, not because I know how to use them, but because they tell me how. You can see an amazing team. It's a beautiful, beautiful location on a lake. There are bald eagles, there are open fields. Every day, somehow, it's sunny and beautiful, and every night is cool with the star-filled sky. And this year, we brought up 450 teenagers to camp. Men and women, mostly women. We have about 70, pardon me, about 70% of our campers now are young women, which is a shift for us, but it is probably due to the way that we're actually organizing our program around moral development and engaging them on other things. But we're thinking about that. That group of 450 is supported by 100 adult advisors. Some of them are in college. Many of them have moved on from college and are now working in the world, nurses and teachers, or other occupations. And then we have a group of about 15 or so administrative staff, including Reverend Larry, Reverend Jenny, myself, and a few others, who help to organize the program. We meet throughout the entire year to create this program. And this year, our theme for camp was the greatest hits. We looked at our camp, which has been around for 60 years, in a 60-year tradition, and said, over those 60 years, what are some of the most memorable and exciting programs that we have had? We took our time to pick through the old program and say which activities that we had at camp would be the most meaningful and impactful to the teens. And by the end of the week, everyone that was up at camp had said that it was the best weekend. One of the things that we tell our staff is to not be upset that last year, which they thought was the greatest year ever, will be superseded by this year, which will be the greatest year ever. And I'll tell you that when I was younger, I really didn't understand. I didn't understand that my last year at camp, or what I was doing in my life, which I thought was the coolest thing that had ever happened, next year was even better. I wanted to have that hold on. And kind of like the idea of a greatest hits with a musical group, it's tough for individuals to say, this song, which is my song, which I love, wasn't actually the best song for them. They got better as they moved along. It is the same with camp and with youth group. As we change and grow, we have to get better. We have to learn from our mistakes and become stronger. It fits in very well with what it follows, that we are going to grow and that we are going to change, and that God will be there to support us all the way through. We, as advisors, try to play a role of support as well. At camp this week, in many weeks in the past, when we talk about our greatest hits, some of the things that come to mind to me are the stories that we share. And one story that we shared this week, I'll share with you, and another from the past that was continually expressed to our community group and will probably be mentioned again this year, really fits in well as well. So those two quick stories for you are parables we have shared for many years. At youth group, we oftentimes will end the meeting with a story. At camp, we will start the day in silent meditation by the lake with everyone getting a sheet of paper. Scripture verse on there, parable on there, seeds for your prayers on there, as well as some quotes, and now an action of the day, something you should do that day to spread the word. This year, one of the stories we shared was that of the stone cutter. And when we think about growth, and we think about loving ourselves, which was one of our themes for one of our days, was actually love you some you, about self-care and caring for yourself so that you can make it through your day. We told the story of the stone cutter. And if you're not familiar with it, I'll give you the 1 minute recap, but I would suggest that you go home and read the story. It talks about a stone cutter who was upset with his life. Very poor, he worked as a mason, cutting stone from the mountain every day, and he said to himself, well, that king over there doesn't have any of these problems. I wish I were the king, I wouldn't have to work this hard every day and be this poor. And of course, through magic, he becomes the king, and has servants and loves his life. But he notices that the king has to go inside in the middle of the day because it's too hot and too sunny, and he doesn't like being out in the sun, and the sun is not the most powerful thing. He would like to be the sun, but there's nothing to stop the sun. Of course, through magic, he becomes the sun, and he's able to scorch the earth if he wants to. He's able to make sure that the plants grow if he wants to, or crush them. But realizes that the clouds can block the sun. And then, of course, wants to become the clouds. So the stone cutter is now, through magic again, the clouds in the sky, and has the ability to stop the sun from scorching the earth. But, realizes the wind blows the clouds out of the way and pushes you away. So he wants to become the wind, and through magic again, he's transformed into the wind. Then realizing that the mountain itself is the one thing that stops the wind. And besides, I would like to be the mountain. Nothing can stop the mountain. It's greater than the king. It's greater than the sun, the clouds, and greater than the wind. And he becomes the mountain, only to then realize that the one thing he really wants to be is the stone cutter who climbs up the mountain and carves the rock from the side of the mountain. Truly realizing that who he was is what he wants to be, who he is, and through all of those changes, is intrinsic to that person that he is, and becomes a stonecutter. A reminder to our teens that they should care about who they are and realize that there's a place for them in the world. A reminder to all of us that we can be the person who we are and realize that we make a giant difference in this world. I think that fits in nicely with the idea of self-care, fits in nicely with those 12 steps, and in particular, understanding God and understanding that God meets us where we are and who we are, even when we change throughout our life. That's something that I firmly believe in. And the next story that we share quite a bit really ties in, I think, to the moral of camp this year and the moral of our youth group for many years. And, of course, to the sermon that I've had to have, I think. It's the God who carries us. And as I stated in that letter to Paul, God is there to meet us. As stated about our youth group, our advisors are there to meet and to lead and to greet us. But you probably all know one of the stories that we share in your group if you've been a part of it in the past, or at camp, if you've ever gone and one of your cousins or kids go to camp. And that's the famous poem, Footsteps, or Footprints, or whatever it's written. But in Footprints in the Sand, there's a story about a man who is talking to God and notices that on a beach, and the beach is his life, there are two sets of footprints. And at every point in his life where there was difficulty, there's only one set of footprints. And wonders to himself, God, you walked with me my entire life. But I see that every time that there was trouble in my life, you left me. There was only one set of footprints there. And it's very powerful for this individual to think that God left them in their most troubled times. God didn't come down and meet them where they were. God wasn't there. But at that point, God said, my son, in your most troubled time, I can leave you. That's why I picked you up. Those are my footprints in the sand. I carry you through those tough times. A lot of this has to do with perspective. Being carried by God, being carried by a congregation, being supported by advisors, being supported through a camp program, is something that I firmly believe in and feel very strong about. I love having the opportunity to be a youth director here. I love having the opportunity to bring my family to camp. My family can be a part of that. It's part of who we are. We feel carried oftentimes when we're tired and worn out by God, and I firmly believe that our group is trying to help you do the same thing. That couldn't happen without this congregation. It couldn't happen without the support of the community. And my hope is that we're able to do this for another 60 years at camp, and certainly far more than that through our youth group. This year, at youth group, speaking of belief, and the belief that God carries us, and the belief that we have in camp and in who we have in our youth group, our youth group selected a theme of This I Believe, which, if you know NPR, is an NPR series in which they have individuals come on and give a belief statement. What do you firmly believe in? It doesn't have to be in the God of their choosing or of their religion that they grew up in. It could be something as simple as, I believe that you need to know everyone's name in order to make contact with them. It could be as much as, I believe you always have to have a dollar in your pocket if someone needs to take a bus ride home so you can give it to that person. But there has to be a reason beyond just, I believe this one sentence. Our teams came up with this idea, and none of them know this, but about 10 years ago at camp, that was actually our theme as well. So many of them will be very surprised that we have a strong program from many years ago, but it does show that the teenagers who choose these programs and help to grow them and select them, because that's how we do it within our youth group, have an idea that they need their belief to be heard, and they have to learn about the belief that we have in them as well. I appreciate that we have the chance to carry them and to lift them up. I appreciate that you support that. Our role is to continue to do that through our youth group, through scholarships, through camp, and through whatever we can do. I thank you for that opportunity. I thank you for the chance to preach here today, and I look forward to many more years.